Amen. He is worthy indeed. It is so good to be back worshiping together, church. I am so excited that we get to be together today online, and even more excited that next week we get to do this again back in person. And so just want to remind you that if you are able and comfortable, we would love for you to come back to the building and worship with us together. So excited for the opportunity to be able to do that. Today we are actually going to be starting a brand new sermon series called Back at It. Now, here's the idea. Here's the truth of the matter, right? There's a lot of people who, truth be told, like, this whole coronavirus thing has, you know, in social distancing and working from home and everything has actually been kind of helpful for some people, right? For some people, it's like, well, they were working from home, so they didn't have all this time with a commute to get to work, and so they were able to maybe spend more time in exercise, or maybe because they were home, they weren't eating out as much, and so that was helpful, or and maybe, like, for some people, I've heard a lot of people who are saying, you know, since I've been working at home, I've been able to get so much more work done because I don't have all those distractions at work keeping me from doing the work that I actually am hired to do, right? And so, like, I recognize there are actually some really good things that have come from all of the effects of coronavirus on our society, right? But if we're all being honest, there's been some things that probably haven't been that great in regard to our schedules and everything too, right? I mean, like, let me just be real clear here, right? This doesn't come as a shocker or anything like that, but the truth of the matter is I'm a pretty routine-oriented person, right? And throughout my ministry, even here with Houston First, I have had a pretty clear routine, even just to when I get up and what I do in the morning and when I get here to the building and how long I'm here and when I'm home and you know, even down to dinner with the family and all that kind of stuff. Even my routine for weekends, all that kind of stuff. And I'm just telling you right now, all that has been shot since coronavirus happened. Like, it's just out the window. None of it's been the same, right? Particularly with kids home for school back in March and April. That was, you know, doing the whole homeschool or distance learning kind of thing. And I'm working from home as well. And so now we've got, you know, five different people that are trying to have a workspace all in one place. And so, like, the work routine was out the window, the wake-up routine was out the window, the exercise routines were out the window, my office was literally in the kitchen, so whatever, like, eating that, you know, whatever, like, diet I might have had before, that was out the window, because now I'm constantly eating, because I'm literally working in the refrigerator, right? And so, like, all of that has just gone by the wayside. But not only that, like, I you know, there's others that I've had conversations with who've said, you know what, since we've been away from the building, like, worship just isn't the same. And, you know, like, I praise God for the technology to be able to do this online, but I think we'd probably all agree, like, it's not the same on a video as it is, like, actually being in the room together, right? I've even talked to some others who have just mentioned, you know, even difficulty in terms of maintaining, you know, regular Bible reading each day, or even, you know, a routine for prayer. And the reality is that because our routines have been all thrown off, that tends to have an effect on even the rhythms and the routines that we have in terms of maintaining a relationship with Jesus and growing closer to God. Well, what I want to do today and over the next couple of weeks is I want to figure out, like, how can we get back at it, right? Like maybe we've kind of drifted a little bit. Maybe we've kind of gotten out of some of those really positive routines. Maybe we've been a little bit too much into binging Netflix and Hulu and all that kind of stuff. And maybe we need to kind of find a way to get back at it, to get back into our relationship with Jesus, to get back into our faithfulness to God and to His Word. Like, how can we get back at it today? And how can we get back at it, even as schedules are kind of getting back to normal? How can we really kind of get back to a solid relationship with Jesus? Well, today, we're going to be looking at, we're going to be in the book of John here in just a moment. We're going to start in chapter 18. But before we get there, if you would, just pause with me for a moment of prayer. God, I thank you so much for your faithfulness. I thank you so much for being right here with us right now. And I thank you, Lord, that no matter where we have drifted to, you are open to receiving us back. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would speak through me right now, God, that my words would be your words, that your message alone would be proclaimed even now, God, that we might all hear how it is that we can be reconnected to you in a strong way that will not waver even with a schedule change or a routine change. Father, help us to hear from you and your word even now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 18, and I want to read a few verses there, starting in verse 15. So John chapter 18, starting in verse 15, says, Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. Verse 17, "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Now, if you skip down to verse 25, it says, Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself. So they asked him, "You aren't one of the disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" And again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow. See, we know this story pretty well, right? Because Peter said that he was going to follow Jesus even to death. And Jesus told him ahead of time, actually, Peter, you're going to deny three times that you even know me. And of course, Peter's like, no, Jesus, like, I'm going all the way, man. Like I'm with you. We're ride or die. I'm going to be there, right? And yet, the truth of the matter is that Peter did end up denying Jesus three times. And not only did he do it, but Jesus gave him this moment to look for, this time that the rooster crows, right? And that would be a reminder to him of what Jesus had said. If you think about it, like, think about every time Peter might have heard a rooster crow after that, right? Talk about, an association of a moment with a sound or an experience there. I'm sure you've probably had some experiences where maybe a smell takes you back to something or a sound takes you back to something, a thought, a picture, being in a certain place takes you back to something, right? Like, imagine what it was like for Peter for the rest of his life to hear that rooster crow each and every morning and what that meant to him and what he did in regard to Jesus. See, I think this is a time for us to remember that Peter had to deal with the sin of denying Jesus. He had to get real about the fact that he did actually deny him. He couldn't just justify it. He couldn't just imagine it. It didn't happen because every day he woke up, he heard a reminder that he did it, right? See, I think one of the things that is really important for us, if we are going to be people who want to get back at it, want to really get things right with Jesus again, we've got to begin to really confess some things. We just got to own up to the fact that, you know what, we have actually drifted. Maybe there's some sin in your life today that you don't really want it to be there, but the truth of the matter is that every time it happens, you know that that's not in the will of God. Every morning you wake up and you might think back to what happened the night before, and you might think to yourself, well, I know that's not in the will of God. And so we all have these reminders, these triggers, these points of remembrance here where we know what God's word says, and we know that there might be some things that we're doing that don't line up with God's word. And what we have to do is we just got to be real enough to confess the fact that we have actually denied Jesus. We've actually stepped out of his will for our lives. We've actually committed sin against him. And so if we're going to get back at it, we can't just pretend like none of this matters. I guess that's the big thing I want you to hear in this first idea. We can't just pretend like our sin doesn't matter. We've got to own it. We've got to acknowledge the fact that we are sinners, that we have sinned. Before we can seek a deliverer to bring us from that, we first have to acknowledge that it is. Now, maybe you haven't gone, you know, so far as to denying, you know, Jesus or even knowing him or believing in him or anything like that, but maybe you just need to acknowledge the drift. You need to acknowledge the fact that when the routines got all out of whack, like, your faith might have gotten a little out of whack as well, or maybe even just the practice of your faith got out of whack. Either way, it's important for us to recognize that if there's a way that we've stepped out of what God would have for us to do, we need to simply acknowledge that and recognize it as a real thing so then we can move beyond it. Let me skip over now to John chapter 21. And this is where Jesus has risen from the dead, and now he is speaking into Peter's life. And as we pick up there in verse 15, here Jesus has performed another great miracle. Peter literally jumped out of a boat to go over to Jesus and everything. He didn't even wait for him to sail over, right? And then he gets there, and this is the conversation that they have. So we're in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. It says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. This question that Jesus keeps asking Peter, I think, is a really important one for us to ask ourselves as well. Do you love me? Now, I'm not going to go too far into it here, but there is some significance to some of the Greek words that are used here in regard to love. Jesus keeps asking Peter, do you unconditionally love me? Like, are you really that ride or die kind of guy? And Peter keeps answering with a different word. He keeps answering with this brotherly love, right? Which is still a love, don't get me wrong, but it's not what Jesus is asking. And then that third time, Jesus actually asks him, like, well, do you love me like a brother? Now, I think that's probably what hurt Peter the most, is the fact that Jesus actually questioned that. And Peter just had to acknowledge, yes, this is where I am. This is where my love is. I have a love for you, but it's still growing. It's not there yet, right? See, church, I think it's important for us to ask this question as well, because sometimes we kind of get confused on what it is that Jesus is looking for from us, right? I don't think that Jesus only wants us to acknowledge that he existed at one point in time, right? That's great. I hope you believe he existed at a point in time, but that's not all that he wants. In fact, I would even go so far as to say that I don't think Jesus just wants you to believe that he's the Son of God. Because after all, the Bible tells us that the demons believe that and tremble, right? Right? In fact, I would even go another step to say that I don't think Jesus just wants you to believe that he is the Savior of the universe. No, because then it's still possible you could believe that and not allow that to change your life. See, when it comes to following Jesus, it's not just a matter of what you think in your head. Now, what you think is important. And what happens in your mind will be reflected in your heart, and what happens in your heart will come out of your mouth, and your life will be impacted by that. But if all you believe about Jesus is in your head, and it never actually gets to your heart, then that's a problem. See, Peter believed that Jesus was the Messiah enough to jump out of a boat that just had the biggest catch of fish he'd ever seen in his life. He believed it enough to sit down and have a meal with a guy who he saw killed just a few days before. Like, he believed it enough to have this conversation with him. But when Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" Well, now, did he believe it that much? See, we've got to ask ourselves that question too. Like, do we really love Jesus, or do we love the idea of Jesus? Do we love Jesus, or do we love the people that Jesus that also love Jesus? Do we love Jesus, or do we love the church? Do we love Jesus, or do we love the social interaction? Do we love Jesus, or do we love how it makes us feel? Do we love Jesus, or do we just love doing the right thing? Do we love just being moralistic? Do we love just appearing to be righteous? Do we really love Jesus, or do we just love looking like we love Jesus? Those are two very, very different things. And the reason why this is an important question to ask is because if all we're interested is in looking like we love Jesus, it's going to be very hard to return to Jesus. If we're good with enjoying Jesus from a distance, then we're not going to have that heart's desire to really get back and connected with Him. If we don't really and truly love Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, it's going to be really hard to get back into that relationship with Him. Church, do you love Jesus? And is that love motivating you to go after Him and to be reconciled with God through that relationship with Jesus? Let me get to this last part here. We're going to continue on here in John 21 into verse 19. And I just want to read this last part here. Jesus has this whole interaction with Peter and actually kind of foreshadows how it is that Peter's going to die. And so we know that Peter's going to follow him all the way to his point of death. But then at the very end, Jesus says to Peter, look at this now. Then he said to him, "Follow me," right? He actually, even with, let me just step back here. I think this is a very intriguing command that Jesus gave Peter here, right? I mean, isn't Peter already following Jesus? Like, they're having a conversation right now. What more do you want, Jesus, right? But when Jesus says, "Follow me," he's also referring back to the previous instructions he gave to Peter, which is, "Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep, take care of my sheep." Like, in order to follow Jesus, we've got to do the commands of Jesus. We've got to obey Jesus. And obeying Jesus means feeding the sheep of Jesus. And feeding the sheep of Jesus means it's not all about you. Oh, come on, somebody. I know that might hurt a little bit on a Sunday morning while you're sitting on your couch there, but the reality is that while it is about you, Jesus died on the cross, that His shed blood might pay for the forgiveness of your sins. Like, don't get me wrong, it is about you, but it's not just about you. Like, Jesus didn't die just for you. He didn't want just you to be saved. No, He wanted you to be a disciple that would make disciples, that would share good news with those that are lost in their sin and dead and dying in their sin, that you might not be the only one who gets saved, but that we might be able to bring others together with us to heaven, to glory, to relationship with Jesus, not just pie in the sky and then sweet by and by, right? But that we might be able to live in the abundant life of Jesus Christ right here and right now. It is about you, but it's not just about you, right? Like, Jesus told Peter, "Follow me." Which is odd, because Peter's been following him for 3 years now. And the truth of the matter is, we never stop following Jesus. We never arrive. We never get there. Like, we're always pursuing Him. We're always going after Him. We're always feeding the sheep. Now, this is what's so important to recognize here, right? When Jesus said, "Follow me," He didn't say, "Read the Bible more." He didn't say pray more. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus is all about prayer, and he's all about reading the scripture, and he's committed to all those things, and I can show you that in the Bible. But that's not what he said right here. What he said to Peter was, feed my sheep. See, part of what it is to get back to Jesus is to and to get back at what Jesus would have us to do is to get back to the mission of Jesus. And the mission that Jesus gave his disciples was to go and to make disciples. If we really want to get back with Jesus, if we really want to solidify that relationship, we got to find ways to get back to the mission of Jesus as well. So then, how do we do that? Like, practically speaking, how do we get back at it here? Well, let me give you just a few things that we can look at. First of all, we are getting ready to start community groups this coming week, right? And being a part of a community group is a great way to grow as a disciple who's making disciples, right? Nobody's born knowing how to do all this stuff, but if you can get in a community of people that is all going the same direction, all wanting the same goal, then you're going to be able to move that direction much more easily as well. So if you want to get back at it with Jesus, then make sure you get into a group and into a community group that can help you do that. There's going to be a website on the page here where, and it, again, it's just www.hfcog.org/community-groups. You can go to that website right now and get signed up for a group. If you have questions about any of this, make sure you reach out to Pastor Sarah at hfcog.org, and we'd love to get you connected with a community group so that you're not doing this thing by yourself, but that you're actually walking with others just like Jesus did with his disciples as well, right? So that's one thing. Number two then is you can begin to set some new daily routines, right? If you got out of some good routines before, then let's get back into some new routines that are actually going to help you move the right direction, right? Things like prayer and Bible study, but maybe even fasting, maybe times of solitude where you just spend time being quiet, right? Whatever those spiritual disciplines might be, find a way to create some new rhythms, to create some new routines in order that you can kind of get out of the old stuff and into the new. Now, here's the important thing. This is not just about checking boxes and saying, oh, okay, well, I read my Bible and I'm good today. No. All of this is to help cultivate the love that you have for Jesus. If you don't love Jesus, it doesn't matter how many times you read your Bible. I hope you hear that today. If you don't love Jesus, it doesn't matter how many times you pray, right? These things don't take the place of a relationship with Jesus, but rather they help to cultivate that relationship with Jesus. The next thing then is I want to encourage you to find someone to invest in, right? I want you to find a sheep that you can feed. I want you to find a lamb that you can feed and find somebody that you can invest in, right? Who is it that you're sharing your life with? Who is it that you're praying for? Who is it that you're encouraging? Who is it that you're leading closer to Jesus? Who is it that you're talking to about their faith? Who is it you're discipling? Who are you making time for, right? If you're not creating space to invest in somebody else, then the odds are you probably think that this is all about you, right? So if you acknowledge the fact that it's not all about you, then your life needs to show that you're actually investing in someone else. Well, I want to go ahead and invite the worship team to come on back up here. And as they come, I just want to ask you like one very simple question, and that is, are you ready to get back at it? Are you really ready to get back at it with Jesus? Are you really ready to get to leave the old stuff behind, to stop the corona drift away from the church and away from God? Are you ready to get back at it into a love relationship with Jesus? Are you ready to get back at it? See, if you're ready, I want to encourage you, one, acknowledge the fact that sin has happened, that the drift has happened. Two, believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that he died to forgive you your sins and he rose to empower you to live a life outside of that sin, right? Believe not only in your mind, but love him in your heart, right? And then three, just confess that. Confess that he is your Savior. Confess that you're on the right road. Share it with somebody else. Tell somebody else what God has done for you. Invest in someone else that you can be a disciple that makes disciples. If you have questions about this, I want to encourage you to email me at pastortim@hfcog.org. And I want to talk to you more about how you can grow closer to Jesus, how you can get back at it with him, and how you can glorify him in your life once again. Pray with me. Lord God, we thank you so much for this time that we have to be together. We thank you, Lord, that you always receive us back. We thank you, Lord, that we've not been away from you too long, that you will not forgive us of our sins and redeem us and make us whole. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, that you hear our prayers, that you respond to our faith. Help us, Lord, that we can get back at it with you even now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.